In Haiti, a council of sages is expected to name a new prime minister soon. The seven-member body began its deliberations on an interim government yesterday, near the time when some 3,000 Haitians loyal to the exiled president Jean-Bertrand Aristide demonstrated outside the U.S. and French embassies in Port-au-Prince. There is debate about the role the U.S. had or did not in Mr. Aristide's departure, but the Bush administration and French government says it's time to look ahead to restore order and pave the way for new elections. Analysts say that U.S. policy towards Haiti has been the subject of debate since Mr. Aristide was first forced from power in the early 1990s, and the U.S. intervened to bring him back, NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
10 years after they successfully lobbied the Clinton administration to help restore Aristide to power, members of the Congressional Black Caucus and other Democrats are demanding an investigation into the Bush administration's dealings with Haiti. They accuse U.S. officials of strangling the Aristide government by holding up aid and instead funneling money to Aristide opponents. They heard some of their suspicions aired this week by Jeffrey Sachs of Columbia University. He told lawmakers they should ask more about the U.S. relationship with opposition figures who rejected an internationally backed power-sharing arrangement that would have kept Aristide in power.
What was the support from congressionally voted funds to the International Republican Institute going to an opposition that blocked the CARICOM agreement? We're supporting the opposition. Is that right? We're giving millions of dollars to the opposition that Mr. Noriega went down to negotiate with and then got a negative answer? Are you curious? I'm curious as an American. It doesn't make sense.
Roger Noriega, the State Department's top official on Western Hemisphere affairs, says the opposition figures couldn't trust Aristide, and in the end, neither could the U.S. As for the supposed millions in support for the opposition, the U.S.-funded International Republican Institute says it has had a $600,000-a-year budget for what it says are Democracy 101 courses for members of the Haitian civil society. The organization says it does not directly aid political parties. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus, including New Jersey Democrat Donald Payne, remain skeptical.
The concept of IRI and DRI, National Democratic Institute, are good. But I think that in Haiti, seen in Venezuela, IRI has overstepped its bounds. And there's a new group of IRI people who I don't think understand democracy building rather than taking part in politics.
One former State Department official, Bernard Aronson, says the U.S. does have to be careful about how it supports civil societies in other countries. But when it comes to Haiti, he argues this week's debate simply missed the point.
Suggest that this is all manufactured in Washington, regardless of which political party you blame, is just to ignore the realities of Haiti. You know, Haiti desperately needed a Nelson Mandela in its first democratically elected president, and tragically it got a Robert Mugabe.
Aronson was in charge of Latin American policy at the State Department during the first Bush administration and the beginning of the Clinton era. He says U.S. policy became fiercely partisan after Aristide spent 3 years in exile in Washington, cultivating friendships with Congressional Black Caucus members and with Clinton administration officials. Aronson said President Clinton had strong Democratic support to send troops to restore Aristide to power, but little Republican support on Capitol Hill to follow through on nation building.
So when Clinton went in with military force, it was really without much Republican support, and I think that affected their calculus of how long they could stay and how much resources they could put in.
Historian Michael Heinel says donor fatigue set in early, well before Congress cut off aid to the Haitian government to protest Haiti's democratic failings and corruption.
Americans have been traditionally in foreign policy sprinters, not marathoners. We tend to focus on something for a short while, expect it to do what we want, and then move on to the next subject.
Critics of the Clinton administration say the U.S. was too soft on Aristide, at least publicly, perhaps because Washington reinstalled him with such fanfare. Aristide himself played up his ties to U.S. officials, even naming President Clinton's national security adviser, Anthony Lake, the godfather of his children. Heinel, who wrote the book Written in Blood, A Story of the Haitian People, believes Aristide lobbyists share a big part of the blame for the partisanship in Washington.
And in many ways, it worked to Haiti's detriment, because ultimately, Aristide himself became such a polarizing figure that people were unable to get past Aristide and look at some of the things that needed to be done.
The ouster of Aristide only reopened the debate, though the Bush administration says it wants to move on rather than look back. One Republican congressional aide said he hopes Democrats and Republicans can overcome partisanship to work on a plan for Haiti now, before it falls off the political radar screen. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.